Good morning.
Good morning.
Try to wake you up. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides, this you know what time it is. How it is already the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is never to us now than when we become believers. The night is far from gone. The day is near. Let us now throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in the reveling and drunkenness, not in illicit sex and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for your word. As we now contemplate your word, may your message speak to each and every one of us. May your spirit open our hearts and minds, remove any obstacle that might hinder us from hearing your message for us this morning. May your spirit make it personal to each and every one of us. That is our prayer. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you noticed lately how the things we wear are getting smarter? Now, I don't mean, smarter in the sense that our clothes know how to match our socks with our shirt. Because for that, you're kind of like still on your own. I mean smarter in a technological sense. Our watches are monitoring our heart rates. Rings and wristbands track our sleep patterns and daily recovery. Smart glasses now project directions right before your eyes. Translate a foreign language in real time. So we have wearable sensors that check and devices that buzz on our wrists, to remind us, hey, it's maybe time to get up and move around a little bit. And I don't think it will be long enough or long before gadgets on our bodies know more about our daily health than our doctors do. Because your watch can already tell you how well you slept last night, how many steps you've taken, precisely how stressed you were at the 10 a.m. board meeting. So our clothes might not speak to us out loud just yet, but what we put on every morning are increasingly connected and responsive and full of data. And they do much more than tell time or help us pass the eye exam at the DMV. And it's not just tech, is it? Every single morning, before we step out the door, we make a choice. We pick our clothes. We pick our jewelry and symbols that communicate a particular identity. A sports jersey says one thing. A sharp business suit says another thing. A clerical collar says something else entirely. And we do the exact thing online, by the way. We curate our social media profiles just like we assemble a wardrobe. We carefully present ourselves to the world in a particular version of ourselves. And so every morning, we stand in front of the closet or the mirror and we ask the age-old question, what am I going to wear today? And let's be honest, some mornings, that decision takes a lot longer than we'd like to admit. And this daily routine makes the Apostle Paul's message in Romans 13 sound surprisingly modern. Because he's writing to the early Christian community in Rome, and he cuts right to the heart of how we live. He tells us that instead of living merely for ourselves and seeking quick pleasure or personal gratification, we are called to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, put on Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus. And I think that's a striking image. Paul speaks about faith using the language of clothing. Just as we choose what outfit to slip into before stepping out into the world, Paul suggests that the most critical decision you and I make each day is not what we put on, but who we put on. You see, clothing has always communicated identity. A uniform tells you instantly who a person is and what they stand for. A firefighter's turnout gear signals courage in the face of danger. A judge's black robe signals authority and justice. A wedding ring tells a lifelong story of commitment. What we wear actually shapes how we move through the world. Put on work clothes, and your mind gets ready to labor. Put on formal attire, and you naturally carry yourself differently than when you're in sweatpants and a worn-out t-shirt. Clothing doesn't just express our identity, it reinforces it. And the Apostle Paul totally gets this. Because when he commands believers to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, he isn't giving fashion advice. He's talking about core identity. Now, earlier in Romans 13, Paul writes about ordinary and everyday responsibilities, like respect the authorities and pay your taxes and live peaceably with your neighbors. And these aren't flashy and dramatic acts. They aren't high adrenaline adventures meant, you know, for a viral YouTube video. They are the quiet and the steady habits of a daily Christian life. But Paul's point is simple. Discipleship doesn't happen in a vacuum. The life of a Jesus follower isn't meant to be something you tucked away safely inside your heart when no one can see it. It's an identity that you need to show to the world. And every single morning we step out into the sunlight wearing something. And so Paul gently asks us today, what identity are you wearing? And to help us understand what this garment looks like, Paul points us to a debt. But it's a debt that never disappears. He says in verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another. He says, let love be your only outstanding debt. And I think most of us understand financial debt, you know, all too well, because we pay our car loans and we work down the mortgage and we pay off the credit card and we celebrate when the balance hits zero. But Paul says there's one account balance that never hits zero, and that is love. Any of you watching the US Open tennis? All right, so in a game of tennis, love means you have how many points? Zero, right? You have nothing, love. It's love 40, and I'm probably going to lose this game. But in the Christian life, love is the only thing truly worth having. Every single morning, the balance remains outstanding. Because love is an obligation we can never fully pay off, because every new day brings a fresh batch of people and opportunities to practice it, to practice love. Paul recalls the fundamental commandments. Do not commit adultery, he says. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And he says all of these instructions are summed up in one powerful command. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. In other words, love others as much as you love yourself. Why? Because love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love becomes the outer garment, like a sturdy, you know, suit of overalls or a seamless coat that holds everything together. Without love, morality is just a cold and lifeless checklist. With love, morality becomes a vibrant and a beautiful way of life. And so think about this. Love shapes how we speak to people who disagree with our politics or our worldview. Love shapes how we treat people who have less power than we do. Love changes how we interact with the teenager handing us food at the drive-thru window, or the tired grocery store clerk at the end of a long shift, or the customer service agent on the phone when our frustration is boiling over, or the neighbor down the street whose yard sign makes our blood pressure rise. Love shapes our reactions when our patience runs thin and our irritation surges. And make no mistake, the world is watching. People notice how those who claim the name of Christ treat strangers and rivals and people in need. They watch how we handle conflict. They watch whether kindness shows up when life gets difficult. In other words, the world is watching what we are wearing. Paul, you know, then takes an incredible turn in his letter, and he moves from talking about love to talking about time. And he says in verse 11, besides this, you know what time it is, how it's already the moment for you to wake from sleep. The reality is every culture lives by the clock. But Paul insists that Christians live by a much deeper and a cosmic timetable. He said, the night is far gone, the day is near. Because Paul sees human history like a long, dark night that is finally giving way to the morning sun. The resurrection of Jesus was the very first light breaking over the horizon. And because of that resurrection, believers are called to be people who dress for the morning light and not the night. And then he says, let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. I think we know that, you know, night has its own wardrobe, right? darkness prefers garments suited for secrecy or excess and shadows. Think of how dark themes are portrayed in stories. Creatures of the night hide from the dawn because light exposes who they truly are. And Paul names those dark habits plainly: drunkenness, wild reveling, sexual immorality, petty quarreling, bitter jealousy. And these behaviors belong to the shadows of the night. Think of the famous contrast in The Phantom of the Opera. The phantom loves the dark. To him, the night is where passion deepens and where hidden desires rule and where he can hide his true face. Darkness promises a seductive freedom from restraint, but Raoul sees the darkness for what it really is, a dangerous place that conceals harm. And his mission is to lead Christine out of the shadows and into the safety of daylight. The night can be seductive, promises freedom without accountability, or it entices us with pleasure and excess and barroom brawls, or the more insidious sins like envy and backstabbing and toxic gossip. But Paul reminds us, we do not belong to the night. We dress for the daylight that is already breaking over the world. You see, the church is meant to be a community already fully dressed for the sunrise, while the rest of the world still groggily is waking up in the dark. And that brings us back to Paul's ultimate charge: put on the Lord Jesus. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and forget about satisfying your sinful self. I want you to notice that Paul doesn't ask us to merely admire Jesus. He doesn't ask us to simply agree with his theology. He says, put him on. Make Christ your garment. And to wear Christ means you allow his character to govern your instincts and your responses and your daily walk. Heavy work boots change the way you step. A uniform changes how you stand. Putting on Christ transforms how you live. And so Paul warns us not to organize our lives in ways that quietly leave room for the very sins that ruin us. You cannot put on Christ while keeping an outfit of darkness tucked away in the closet just in case. Because true discipleship means deciding which identity we're actually going to live in. And so as we prepare to go out into this coming week, remember, before we step out the front door each morning, we all make choices. Shirt or hoodie, jacket or sweater. Do I need a pocket for my phone, or is my smartwatch enough today? Earrings or AirPods? And those physical choices are fine. But Paul calls us to a far deeper morning routine. Before the very first conversation of the day, before the first tough decision at work, before the first traffic jam tests your patience. The defining question for a Christian is never just, what am I wearing today? The real question is, who am I wearing today? So wear his patience when tempers begin to flare. Wear his humility when pride starts whispering in your ear. Wear his compassion when someone else's burden crosses your path. Wear his courage when standing up for what is right becomes uncomfortable. Long before the invention of smartwatches and wearable tech, Paul understood that identity is something the world can see. When people look at us, they ought to recognize the character of Jesus Christ. I mean, you can forget your watch. It's okay. You can leave your ring on the nightstand. You can even leave your coat behind. But whatever you do, tomorrow morning, each day, don't forget to put on Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, thank you for your word, for your love, for your compassion, for your example, for the Apostle Paul and his words to the church in Rome, his words to us this morning. We all struggle. We all struggle to live as you want us to live. So my prayer is simple, God. May your Spirit embolden us, enable us, encourage us to every day get clothed in the love of Christ, to put on the Lord Jesus so that our identity is known to the world as people who are kind, people who love, people who have compassion, people who are patient, people who are forgiving. May the world see in us the very image of your Son Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.